God bless him. Thank God for that amazing grace. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jana. I'm not sure what time it is. I always on Wednesday night ask what time it is, but I'm not even going to ask you this morning. We are in a crisis in our nation. You know that. I know that. And I want us to focus toward revival as we never have. On Thursday of this past week, I'll give a little update. Most of you I've talked to you, but I won't give it to it right now. But on Thursday of this week, I, with another pastor, went to a meeting in Rural Hall, North Carolina, and met with Dr. David Gibbs. He is has the Christian Law Association, has for many years, helping defend churches against encroachment of CLA, of a lot of entities in our nation that would destroy Christianity and Christian ministries, and in constant battles across this country with churches in lawsuits over frivolous type things. He shared with us, me and several other pastors who gathered there. He has also moderated the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. That's been going a long time. That was started way back when I was in Tennessee Temple. But it's Baptist preachers across the nation come together in Walkertown, North Carolina, and been in Walkertown in October. But Dr. Gibbs said, I'm personally calling every preacher in America that I can. We don't have 10 years. He said, we're in such a dead fall as a nation. He said, Christianity, or our nation as we know it, less than 2 years will not exist unless we see revival. He said he's getting between 300 and 500 phone calls every day in his office of lawsuits against churches and ministries in regard to the gay issue. He said, if you think all they want to do is get married and be happily ever after, you're sadly mistaken. They have a great agenda in this nation. And he said, not only that, but so many other things. For years now, he's fought legal battles in the courts through legislation and everything else. He said, in spite of everything we've done, nothing slowed down the rapid descent of our nation. And Dr. Gibbs, along with all the other pastors, as well as myself there, strangely, God, in the last few, I'll share tonight. I'm going to share a lot of personal things tonight. I hope you'll be back. Don't miss tonight's service. But there's a great burden among God's men that the only hope of America right now is what I know Brother Jim's been preaching, and that is fasting and prayer. If you care anything at all about America, I want you to listen very seriously to what I say this morning, and let's ask God to send real revival in our nation. It cannot be legislated. We can't do it at the ballot box. We've proved that. We voted over and over again in our state, and it's overturned by one vote in the Supreme Court almost every time. Voting is not the answer. We've got to have a move of God in this nation. I want to share with you this morning some truths from the Word of God. Turn in your book of the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. I preached this message on Friday night there in the revival I was in. And I told Regina when I was praying and studying on Friday especially that I knew that God would have me to preach the same truth here this morning. And I hope God will minister to our heart. I am aware of the fact that those of you who are in here who read your Bible and you pray, you know what a mess we're in as a nation. And I believe you share that burden. You also share the same sense of frustration as to what you can do about it. What can we do? What can we do to change this nation? What can we do to see revival in this nation? I want to start off, I'll preach this morning and next Sunday morning, kind of along this same theme. I want to preach to you this morning on rapture ready. So the main thing is this. 1 Thessalonians says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, are you rapture ready? In order to be rapture ready, you have to be saved by the grace of God. I'm not talking about a member of this church, anybody else's church. Not that I baptize you, anybody else baptize you, but that you have been born again by the grace of God. And if you get saved, you're going in the rapture. I do not believe in a split rapture. I do not believe in what some people say, that if you are a Christian but you're out of fellowship with God, or if you got something in your life, that those who are right, you know, clean as they can be, they're going to go into rapture, and everybody else has to stay and go through part of the tribulation to get purified and everything else. I don't believe that at all. I believe that you go in the rapture if you're saved by the grace of God. I'm also convinced that a large number of people who are saved are not ready for the rapture. When we went to Cheyenne, Wyoming a few weeks ago, that meeting was in like 3 years in the planning. And then finally, several months ago, maybe 6 months ago, we bought our ticket. No doubt about the fact we were going, unless God intervened and, you know, something happened, we couldn't go, because I had my ticket bought. And Regina had a ticket bought. And she'll tell you that as we're getting ready to go somewhere, probably at least 1,000 times, I look at my ticket. I'm always checking. I want to make sure where it's at. I want to make sure it's got the right date. I want to make sure I'm at the right gate. And right now, until I get on the plane, I'm constantly checking. And then as we got ready, many of you were praying for us about our trip and what we were going to do and such as that. And people would ask me on a weekly basis, are y'all ready for your trip? And I said, no, we're not ready. Well, I had my ticket. I was going, but I really was not ready, because I hadn't packed any socks, hadn't got anything else together. And the truth of the matter is, right, we did start some earlier in that week, but right up to the very last moment, and even that morning, we were still getting ready to go. And so if you're saved, you're going in the rapture. But are you really ready for the rapture? I want you to look in Romans chapter 13 and look at verse number 11. That knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. How many of you believe it's nearer to coming to Jesus ever been? Right now. It is. Now is your salvation nearer than it's ever been. It's time. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wanting, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What Paul is saying, he's saying, if you're saved, you better be ready for Jesus to come. And that means that you're saved, but there's more to it than that. Being ready. Oh, you're going to go. You're going to go. If you're saved by the grace of God, I believe with all my heart that every redeemed person will go. But here's an admonition that there is a sense of readiness for the rapture that everybody's not lined up with. We're so consumed with ourselves and our flesh and everything else that we're not really ready for the rapture. Look a little further, if you will, please. Turn over to the book of 2 Peter. Go toward the book of Revelation, and you'll come to the book of 2 Peter. And I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture here. I'll read a good many Scriptures, and my points in the message maybe will be a little briefer. But notice in 2 Peter in chapter 3, the second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. God's people need stirring. I was thinking about that. Here's your sign business. In the motel that we stayed in for the last couple of days, they had that do not disturb sign. And I was able to rest there today and read and pray. And so I put that do not disturb sign out. And as I was going over to preach one night, I picked that up and I looked at it, do not disturb. I thought most church members need one of those. They're not interested in being disturbed. They don't want anything to disturb them. They don't want anything to stir them. They want to keep on going like everything's fine and not be disturbed. Don't disrupt what we've got going on. My dear friend, listen, he said, I make no apologies. I want to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In our trip to Wyoming, we were able to go up into Yellowstone, and some of you have been, and I really appreciate all of you who told us what to look for, and I found out that you need a week. But I may have mentioned some of it to you, that in that Yellowstone is that great, huge Yellowstone Lake. It's placid, beautiful. It's so large you could take Lake Jordan, Lake Harrison, put in it. But there's something unique about that lake. One of the largest volcanoes in the world is under that lake. And that lake is rising at a rate of about an inch a year. It's kind of like if you took a big pot of water and put it on a stove and you turn it on and it begins to heat. If you'll notice, the water level begins to rise. And the reason water's rising under Yellowstone Lake is because of intense heat, so intense that it melts rock into molten lava. Around Yellowstone, they're not one guy's Old Faithful. We about talked about them. There are thousands of them. And the reason they spew up is because of buildup of heat under that thermal cap in that whole part of Wyoming, that whole part of that mountain there. It's a boiling cauldron. And, of course, as you talk with the park rangers and the scientists and everybody, and they tell you and all the things you read, it says all this is a million, billions of years old and everything and all of that. But they do say this, it's churning. And they did say this, it is not if, it's when. And they said this, when it blows, when the cap blows off of that, it's going to destroy Wyoming, most of a large portion of Utah, Montana, and even South Dakota, just like that. They said the eruption will be so loud, it'll be able to be heard and felt in New York City the day it happens. That's just one. They're around the world like that. When God got ready to destroy the world with water, all he did was open the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven and destroyed everything in whose nostrils was the breath of life except for eight precious souls and the animals that were inside that ark. Now, the Bible said, if that's true, and it is true, the same word that did that is now got the world in store, not to be destroyed with water, but with fire. I want to read on. Notice what it said here. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. That's in your King James Bible. And he said, there's coming a day when that thing pops and when God says, this is it, great noise, that eruption will be able to be heard in New York City, not just felt, but heard. It's going to be so loud in New York City. And then he said, the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. Seeing that all these things shall be. Now, if you believe the Bible, you believe that. You may not know when it's going to happen. I'm not setting the date. I don't have any idea. But if you believe the Bible, you believe, number one, Jesus is coming again in the rapture. You believe that judgment's coming in this world. And he said, now, if we really believe that, seeing then that these things shall be, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall dissolve and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He said, if you really believe that, how do you think we ought to be living? If you really believe that, how do you think you ought to be living? If we believe that the rapture is coming, are you rapture ready? I don't mean, are you saved? I'm saying, are you rapture ready? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're looking beyond all the great tribulation, beyond all the great destruction, to a new heaven and new earth. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot or blameless. Not, are you rapture ready? He said, listen, you and I are going into rapture. I believe that with all my heart if we're saved. But he said, you and I can make ready. We can be ready. There's some things we need to do if we're going to really be rapture ready. And accounting that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also according to wisdom giveth unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles speaking to you things in which are some things hard to be to understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. He said, now, I don't understand all that Paul says about it, but I know it's coming. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, you know the rapture is going to happen, you know God's going to judge this world, you know the tribulation period's coming, you know all these things. Listen, know these things before. Beware lest also, being led away with the error of wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness. There's a danger in these last days. The Bible said in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Many will depart from the faith, getting heed to seducing spirit. And are you rapture ready? Are you ready for the rapture if you're saved? Now watch verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now I want you to go to another passage of scripture. And I know I'm reading a lot of scripture, but I want you to go over to the book of 1 John, while you're right here at it, in chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, I'll call your attention to verse number 2. He said this, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. If you have that hope, he said, you ought to be purified. You ought to be purified. Now watch this. Look over at verse 28 of chapter 2. Just right back, right where you are. You don't have to turn the page. Look back at verse 28 of chapter 2 of 1 John. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. I want us to pray. And I'll share just a few things with you. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would make us rapture ready. Our Father, if in the morning or this afternoon this nation would be plunged into conflict, no doubt many of these young men in here would volunteer for service. Many of the older men who would not be acceptable would be more than eager to go and willing to do everything they could to fight to save this nation. And God, I pray the alarm, Lord God, will be in our hearts and our lives, seeing that these things are going to happen, that it's coming, that our Father, that we'll be ready. Our Father, ready for the rapture. And God, I pray, God, that Lord, that you'll send revival. God, I pray that God, that you would not have us, our Father, to be ignorant, not have us to be, Lord, removed from our steadfastness. But God, I pray that God, you'd move. God, give us a fresh zeal. God, I pray you'd give us a fresh touch from heaven. I pray, God, that, Lord, we could see real revival in this church. God, I pray for the day that we'll have to put chairs out in this auditorium and the choir not be able to come down. But God, that people will be here weeping in this altar and souls will be getting saved and lives are changed and people are seeking your face. And I pray, oh God, for real revival. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, that you'd visit us once again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Thank you for souls that have been saved. Our Father, so many there in other lands, Lord, through the ministry of Brother Jim, Ronnie, and others. God, I know that our nation's going to hell. God, we need revival here. We need you to move in our nation. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you're no respecter of persons. And God, I believe with all my heart that, God, you can, you will. And I ask, God, you do it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you rapture ready? You say, I'm saved. I'm going. I'm leaving out. Everybody in here who's saved is going. I believe that with all my heart. If Jesus were to come right now, the Bible says that those who are saved be taken out. Everybody lost in this building, you don't get to go. You don't get to go. A few Sundays ago, I preached on No Tomorrow. That means that if you've heard the gospel and if you've been here any length of time, you have heard the gospel. And if you're not saved now and Jesus came today, you never would be saved. You never would be saved. That you believe a lie that you might be damned, that all who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But my dear friend, if you're not saved today, you can get saved today. You can know Christ today. But if you're saved, you're going into the rapture. But are you really ready? I mean, are you really ready? Are you really to stand before Him today? Let me suggest a few things to you that would help me and you both to be rapture ready. Go back to the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and listen to what Paul said in verse number 3 of chapter 1. He said this, I thank God whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Paul said this, I serve God with a pure conscience. If you're going to be rapture ready, you need to have a clear conscience. If you get saved by the grace of God, God forgives all of your sin. Salvation means this, God has removed the penalty of sin from you. There's therefore no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus. God has forgiven all your sin, past, present, and future. God has judicially pardoned you and expunged your sin forever. They'll never be remembered again. And that is your salvation. That is your relationship with Him. You're His child. But that doesn't mean you've got a clear conscience. Because when you sin as a believer, when you disobey God as a believer, you grieve the Holy Ghost of God in you and He pricks your conscience. When you think things you ought not to think, when you say things you ought not to say, when you do things you ought not to do, the Holy Ghost of God immediately is grieved in you and He speaks to you and you know you're not right. You immediately begin to lose the joy and that closeness of the Lord. You just seem not be in His presence. I've told you the story, I think, when I was a little boy growing up, Mama was lenient. And of course, I think about it now. We'd leave early in the morning, not come back to dark sometime. Little old boys, BB guns, ramble all through the woods, up and down the creek all day long. And Mama's, they let me do that. It's no problem. But one thing she said, you don't go across that highway. You don't go to that lake. Jimmy Wheeler come by one day and not very far from my house was the Runt Rapids Lake. And he said, let's go swimming. I said, I can't. Mama said, I can't go. If I don't have an adult, I can't go. He said, she won't never know it. He said, we'll go down back through the field. We back down, got an old dirt path down there. And he said, we'll go across there and go to the lake, go swim, come back. She won't ever know we're gone. Sounded good to me. And I left. We ran on through the field. When we hit that dirt road, we just ran. Barefooted boys running down the middle of that road. We come to the highway down there, and there's a little hill, and it's a red clay hill, and the water running down that hill over the years had washed out. The pavement stood about that high above the red clay dirt on the shoulder. We looked both ways, took off running. I immediately kicked that pavement with my big toe. Pavement didn't move. My nail peeled back on my big toe. I was in absolute agony and pain. First thing I thought, Mama is going to kill me. And, you know, Jimmy told me, he said, I got to go back. He said, no, you can't go back. He said, if you go over yonder that lake and put your toe in that cold water, it'll make that feel better. He lied. I limped my way over there, and we finally got over there. When I got there, my foot was throbbing like a toothache, and I got down there, and I put my foot down in that cold water, and I thought lightning had struck me. It would slam out the top of my head. I've never had a pain like that in all my life. It was misery. I hung around as long as I could and finally had to limp back to the house. When I walked to the house, I didn't go running in the house and say, Mama, I'm home. I slipped around the back door. I don't know if you know this or not, but Mama's got eyes all the way around their head. They have this mental telepathy. They know where you are and what you're doing, what you're thinking. And I was in the bathroom and they're trying to wrap toilet paper around it, keep from bleeding everything out. And Mama come to the door and looked at me. Oh, how I felt. Oh, you say your toe's hurting? Oh, my toe was hurting. But it wasn't my toe hurt so bad as to look on her face. And she said, where you been, son? I said, Mama, I went to the lake. Went to the lake. You know what? She's still my mama. She loved me that day. But I was ashamed. I was ashamed. And I didn't feel a good vibe. I didn't feel happy. I had a guilty conscience. And when you do things that nobody else knows about, and sometimes things people do, you have that in your conscience. When you kneel to pray and the Holy Ghost of God, you're trying to pray about something, the Holy Spirit of God said, hey, what about what you said about so-and-so? What about what you've been looking at? What about things you've been doing that nobody else knows about? What about those secret lusts in your heart? What about those things? Those things that you've harbored and hid, that guilty conscience, where you've not really forgiven people, where you've done things that ought not have been done, and the people that you really don't want to get around because you would be embarrassed to be in their presence because of how you treated them. Are you rapture ready? Because, you see, you've got that. And the Bible said this. He said, as a believer, when you get saved, you're saved by the grace of God, and you're going to go to heaven. But he said, you ought to maintain that steadfastness, and you'll stay in fellowship with him. And 1 John is about fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 is about fellowship, not about relationship. You're now the sons of God. He repeats that, emphasized in chapter 3. But he said this, if you say you have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. And my dear friend, when you got something in your conscience that's guilt, just pricks you all the time, best thing you can do is get it out and be honest. Confess. He said if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Get it out. Not a thing between my soul and Savior. That is not for your salvation. You're going to go to salvation because of his blood, but it's for your fellowship. Amen. Now, listen to what it said. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us. You may not agree with what I'm fixing to say, but you think about what I'm fixing to say. You're saved, all your sins on his account. But he did say this. At the judgment seat of Christ, we'll have to give an account for everything we've done in our body, whether they were good or bad. I'm not talking about for salvation, but I'm talking about accountability. He said, if I've done things, if I've sinned, if I have something, a guilty conscience that's there and it's haunting me, all I've got to do is confess. That means I get before God, I say the same thing God says about it. Say, God, I'm sorry for this. Sorry I said this. I may have to make restitution, but I'm sorry for this, and I'm going to make things right. I don't want a thing in my conscience about that. I have some wonderful friends in this church who've done some wonderful things for me. And a few weeks ago, I went and sat and talked with them about a situation. And God blessed. And this is part of what I'm talking about, being rapture ready. Not a thing between my soul and the Savior, not a thing between me and anybody else. I want to have a clear conscience in every area, every area. And I want to just, because it's imperative, because I don't want my nation to die and go to hell. I don't want people to die and go to hell because I've got things in my life that hinders my prayer life. I want to have a clear conscience when I stand before him. And it said, if I confess my sin, he's faithful just to forgive me. But now, that word, if, think about that. Every time I've knelt, asked him, he did. Every time I've repented, he did. Home, here, wherever. Just gone just like that. If, a big if. But if you've got something in your conscience right now and you're convicted over something and you don't confess it, where's it going to go when the rapture happens? Listen to me. You're going to heaven because of his shed blood. But he said, you'll give an account one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ for that. The Bible said, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. I'm not sure, but when I have to give an account for the things that I've done and you've done, that I've got my conscience that God knows I've done and I know I've done and other people may know I've done, and I will not get it straight. And when the rapture occurs, somewhere along the line, I've got to give an account of that. You got an option. You can either get right with God now and get ready for the rapture and say clean, just like Brother Loman used to say, clean as a hound's tooth, confess, keep everything between you and the Savior clear, or you'll have to give an account of it. And it's very likely you have to do it before the saints of all the ages. How would you like for everybody in this congregation to know every little dark secret of your heart? The things you've done that nobody else knows about. The things that you've treasured nobody else knows about. I am convinced, my dear friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going in the rapture. But somewhere along the line, you can either settle up now or you'll settle up then. That's why he said in 1 John, there'll be some who'll be ashamed at his coming. If you're going to be rapture ready, you better have a clear conscience. It ain't worth it. It will not be worth it. You ought to be clean. Second thing this morning, Ezekiel says this, the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says to Ezekiel in chapter 33. He said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, He said, if you speak to warn that wicked of his wicked way and he doesn't turn from his wicked way, he'll die in his sin, but you delivered your soul. But he said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you don't speak to warn that wicked of his wicked way, he said, he'll die in his sin, but his blood will I require at your hand. Listen, are you rapture ready? How much blood you got on your hand? Now listen to me. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand. I know you do. Everybody here believes God's got a plan for your life. Everybody here believes God's got a plan for your life. Maybe who you're going to marry, where you're going to work out, what you're going to do, this, that, and the other. If that's true, then I do believe that God has people in my life and your life that we're supposed to witness to that nobody else has that responsibility for. I believe there'll be people at your school, at your work, in your community, in your family that God expects you to witness to. When I was talking about David Gibbs, the lawyer, he travels worldwide all the time. He's always gone preaching, sharing. But he said, I've asked people all across America, how many of you have led one soul to Christ last year? He said, big churches, little churches, how many of you led one soul to Christ last year? He said, very, very few in anybody's church anymore raised their hand and said they led one soul to Christ, personally. Very few. Beyond that, he said, I'd say this, how many of you personally witnessed to somebody, you took the Bible, went through the plan of salvation, or you gave them a tract and you talked personally about it and you shared the gospel with them in a definitive way and brought them to the place where you said, will you accept Christ or not? How many of you in this past year have done that with at least one person? He said, very few people have witnessed to one person in a whole year. Wonder why our nation's going to hell. Wonder why the fastest growing religion in America, I don't have to tell you who it is, Muslims. They're outstripping the Mormons, outstripping the Jehovah's Witness. Fastest growing in America, Muslims. They're recruiting heavily. I shared with you a few years, just last year, I had a Muslim missionary, he's been in this nation 10 years doing evangelism. We had a 2-hour conversation on the phone. He called me from Chicago, Illinois. And he's reaching people, young people, converting them to Islam because he's trying to. And the reason we're not winning people to Christ is because we're not trying to. We are not maintaining this Christianity in America. We are declining. We are not even replenishing ourselves. I think about the folk that maybe I should have witnessed to, you should have witnessed to, that we didn't. And we will give an account for that. Are you ready for the rapture? Suppose you've been saved for 20 years, and in 20 years, there were just 2 people a year that he wanted you to share the gospel with. Think about that. That's 40 people. 2 a day, 2 a year, rather, for 20 years. 40 people. 40 people. But now wait, go back 20 years. Witness to that one person, and that one person gets saved. And he witnesses to the one person he's put witness to, and they get saved. And he witnesses when they get saved. I'm thinking about not the 40, I'm talking about the 4,000 or the 40,000 in a 20-year span that your one witness would have affected. Am I accountable not only for the direct witness of an individual, but for all the potential witnesses of all those that he led to Christ? Are you ready for the rapture? Hey, you said, Brother Bill, that's pretty heavy for Sunday morning. Hey, he said, it's time for us to wake up and be sober. We're going to give an account. Are you really ready? Ask God, Lord, I can't undo anything I've ever done. I ask God, you forgive me and purge me. But God, help me. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I want to give out tracts. I'm going to make sure I got a track on me. I'm going to keep CDs. I'm going to witness. I'm going to share Christ. And God, if you'll help me, I want to be ready for the rapture. I want to witness everybody I can. You can't do it if you're not sensitive to him. Are you ready for the rapture? How about do you have a clear conscience? Do you have clean hands? In Revelation verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 4, it says this. He said, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. The Bible said you'll love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul. I don't think none of us are ready for the rapture unless we have a consuming love. Love him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Brother Billy, what do you think God wants me to do? I think He wants you to love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Do you? Do I? The reality dawned on me on Friday while I was praying. I've sinned in two great ways in that regard. Number one, if I tell you I love Him with all my heart, mind, and soul, and I do not, I've lied. I've lied. I've lied to you and I've lied to Him. We've lied. Do not the truth. What an awful thing to lie. I mean, about anything, but to lie about loving somebody. And most of all, about loving God. Second great sin is this, my sin of disobedience, that I did not love Him with all my heart. Two great sins. I lie about my love, and then I disobey about my love. Are you ready? Do you love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul? He forgave your sin. You're going to go into rapture. You're going to see your loved ones again, and we don't love Him. Or you say, Brother Bill, I do love Him. Well, you can tell me that. I can tell you that. Pretty easy. But just suppose He came to you face to face, eyeball to eyeball, just like He did Peter, and asked you this question, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these? You won't be able to lie because He sees our thoughts, sees our heart. Are you rapture ready? If my love is cold, I have to repent, ask God, oh God, set my heart afire, afresh with your love. Won't be rapture ready unless you've got a clear conscience, unless you've got clean hands, unless you've got a consuming love. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says this. Paul said, I have finished my course. You need to have a completed course. Ms. Ronnie's planning on going to Ghana, but she may not get to go. Can I tell you that when Jesus comes back, my agenda's over with, your agenda's over with, and you say, well, Brother Billy, there's so many things that I want to do. Maybe a lot of things I want to do, maybe things like you want to do, but I promise you, when He comes back, that's the end of what He had planned for me and you to do because He knew we wasn't going to be here. What's that tell you? Jim Elliot, that great missionary who died at the hands of the Inca Indians, he said this, only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. But he made another statement to me that's been more convicting. It was this. He said, live every day in such a way that when it comes time to die, that all you have to do is die. What he's saying is this. Every day now, this is Sunday. Today, I need to do the will of God all day long and not have one thing that I'm supposed to do today. Not worried about tomorrow. But whatever I'm supposed to do today, I do it today. Obey Him today. And His prompting today, His direction for today. And I have a completed course. When He comes in the rapture, I want to have done at that moment up to that time, if it's on a Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever it is, whenever He comes back, when He comes back to take me out of the rapture, I want to have completed everything for that day up to that moment that He wants me to do that day. Are you like that? Are you conscious that your day is at His disposal and that your thoughts, your life, everything, present your body a living sacrifice? My dear friend, a completed course. Last thing, I'm through. In the book of Luke, I've read this many times and God just dealt with my heart some time ago about this. Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he asked this question. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith in the earth? I've always said that has to do with Christians. The lost people has to do with the decline of Christianity. Has to do with the fact that the belief in God and all of that and cast out of our public school and all that has to do with the world in general. And then I read the context. Has nothing to do with lost people. It's me and you. He said, when I come back in the rapture, am I going to find any faith in your life? Am I going to find you, he said in the book of Revelation, be faithful unto the end. Is He going to find me full of faith? These are dark days. But you know what I believe? I believe He can do anything. I believe He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we able to ask or think. I believe with man some things are impossible. With God nothing is impossible. I believe that He can take the hand of the king and turn it just like that. I believe He can turn this thing upside down like a fruit basket tomorrow if He wanted to. I believe He could blow His breath across America and people would fall on their face before God and repent and get right with God. I believe that God can send revival. I believe that God will provide all of my needs. I have no doubt what he's going to do. My dear friend, I'm not going to get down, despondent, despairing. I believe God can. I'm going to trust him. And when he comes back again, I'm going to be faithful to him and say, God, I believe you can do that. I believe you are. I believe God will anoint. I believe God will cleanse. I believe God will send revival. I'm going to keep believing that God's able. I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to worry about the government. Not going to worry about anything else. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God, what God can do. I want to be full of faith. If you're going to be ready to meet him, you ought to meet him like this. I believe he can do anything. Don't meet him up under a juniper bush somewhere. Don't meet him backed off in a corner. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't say there's no hope. There's nothing happening. I'm going to just ride this thing out to the end. I want to meet him on fire, full of the Holy Ghost, and preaching and serving and witnessing and believing God to save souls and believing God for revival. And I want him to find me faithful when he comes, that I'm not going to quit, not going to give up. I'm going to keep on. I've had people say, well, Brother Billy, you need to slow down. Well, I got convicted over that. I want to use some common sense. I know that. But this last couple of days, I walked over to the little breakfast thing there at the motel. Brother Don Collins is in there. Brother Don, I hope the Lord willing, will get to come. I don't think you've ever met Brother Don. He's Pastor Friendly Chapel up in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. He's 77 years old. He preaches 45 meetings a year and pastors that big church. They have a huge camp meeting every year up there. But he's on the radio and he go. And he's 77 years old, still preaching all in revival. Still going. Still loving people. And where I preached at this week's a little handful of people Tuesday through Friday night. I've been up there about 5 years in a row now. Had a preacher tell me on the phone, said, you ought not be up there. You ain't doing nothing up there. And yet I met Brother Bobby Robertson again over at Walkertown, over the meeting the other day. He was there. Dr. Bobby Robertson's wife just died just a month or so ago. Bobby's 87 years old now. Pastor one of the largest churches in North Carolina. And you know where he was at last spring? In June, July? That same little church I was in, preaching revival. Pastor's, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 people. He's over there preaching to 20 people. 87 years old. Brother Bobby, he's pastored the same church 65 years. And Bobby said the other day at that meeting, he said, and the fellow was talking about how old he was, they go honor him at Southwide, pastor that same church 65 years, 87 years old. He said, I am not old. He said, I just hung around a long time. But he's still going. He was over in Clayton. He's come Charles Ray's and preaches over there. Brother LaVon, I've had to talk with him a good long time ago. He's been through bouts of cancer and everything else. He just keeps on going. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. Old Bobby said this. He stood up in that meeting. Dr. Gibbs said, Dr. Robertson, you want to say anything? He said, yeah. He said, my wife went home to be the Lord. I said, we've been married 60, I forgot what he said, 65 years, 66 years, 70 years, 60, something like that. 68 years, I believe, they've been married. And he said, been hard. He said, but my wife and I have talked many times the last few years about the nation, our nation, where it's going to. He said, we got 28 great-grandchildren. And he said, my wife would cry, and she said, Bobby, if something don't happen, they won't never know what old-time religion's like. They won't know what old-time preaching's about. They won't know. She said, the world they're going to grow up in won't be nothing like what we're in. And Bobby was sharing his heart. He said, fellas, we need to pray and be obedient to God. First step. If he's going to hear our prayer, you and I better be clean and ready for the rapture. Do you have a clear conscience this morning? Do you have clean hands this morning? Do you have a consuming love this morning? Do you have a completed course obeying him? Do you have a confident faith? I want us to bow heads in prayer. We're not going to have it come Miss Pants to the piano. We're not going to play right now, though. I want you to stand for a minute. I hope you'll be back at the evening service tonight. The deacons are going to meet at 5:30. We have evening service tonight at 6:30. You come back. I want to share some things with you. Brother Billy, you believe God You believe the Lord's coming back? I do. I believe most of you do. And John and Peter wrote and said, seeing we know these things. I mean, we know it. We know it. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation? I'm just asking you a question this morning. If you're saved, if there was ever a time in your life when you knew you were lost and you knew Jesus was your only hope and you cried out to him and he gave you everlasting life and you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, I want you to raise your hand. Nobody will see it but me and God. You got your heads bowed. You raise it between God. You're testifying that you are going in the rapture because you're saved. You're saved. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now I ask you another question. Are you ready for the rapture? Is there anything in your conscience where you've done or said or something you've been doing that nobody knows about? Something that you haven't made right with somebody else when you think about it, it gets in your mind all the time, all the time. You have a clear conscience. I wonder how many people that I've not witnessed to, you not witnessed to. I can't go back and undo. I wish I could. But what I can do now is I can live my life and I'll be faithful and I listen to the prompting of the Holy Ghost and I'll try to do some sort of witness to everybody that he leads me to witness to. I wonder this morning, do you have a consuming love? Do you love? Are you as excited about going to the house of God now as you used to be? Do you love his Bible as much as you used to? Do you just live to get here and be with God's people at the house of God? Or do you just kind of slip in and slip out? You're on the fringe. You're not in. You're not excited. You don't feel a great kinship. Or you're cordial, friendly, everybody's friendly, but you get in, you can't hardly wait, you can get out and get away. But when you love the Lord, it ain't like that. I know times in my life and times in the old building, even over here, and over the years, when people come to the house of God, man, they loved it, and they didn't even want to leave. That only happens when you really love him. Do you have a consuming love? Do you, my dear friend, are you right on schedule, what he wants you to do? Don't worry about what you're going to do tomorrow, next week, or what his plans are for you, but I'm talking about right up to this moment. I'm glad for most of you, it was his perfect will for you to be in church this morning, and you did that. Thank God for it. Now I want to ask you this. Is he going to speak to your heart? And did he speak to your heart? Is there something he wants you to do now? Will you obey him? Are you thinking if I go to that altar, it's going to make the service longer? I can repent right here. Is he drawing you and you say, well, I'll go to the altar. They're going to wonder what I'm thinking about. Wonder what I'm praying about. They don't care. I'm telling you, God cares. Whenever I visit, and by the way, they have a revival here at Johnson Chapel. Brother Barry's preaching on Tuesday night. You need to pray and be over there. I think Wayne Hargrove might preach Monday night. But you ought to get in these revivals and go over and lift up Brother Barry's hands on Tuesday night at Johnson Chapel right around the corner. But when I go to revival camp meetings, I must be the most wicked man in the world. But that preacher preaches and that give invitation, there's just always something in my heart drawing me to the altar. Sometimes I try to grieve him. Sometimes I try to kneel around and kneel where I'm at or pray where I'm at. But it don't seem to always give me a sense of release. If he's a leading me to go to altar, I need to go. I'm just telling you right now, you say, Brother Bill, I don't even know what, I just feel like I ought to go. Just come. Just come to this altar. I'm just telling you now, if we get real, I mean, if we really, really, really get real, God made some promises to us. Are you rapture ready? Have you got so despondent that you don't think things are going to work? You believe it's too far gone? Dr. David Gibbs said what he's learned, what he's seen. He said, we've lost the culture. This is not the nation we were in 5 years ago. We've lost the culture, but we've not yet lost the country. And God's the only answer. I mean, but listen, it's going to take people just like you, just like me. And he made the same statement that I know and I've emphasized. The hope of America is a local church. You.